I reminded you that you are perfect, would you argue me down or step into your perfection? Welcome to perfect mode, where there are no excuses, no expectations, and we explore the world without limitations. I'm Jay Clay, rapper, the spiritual teacher, with my co-host Troy Washington, your friendly neighborhood realtor. Let's be real. So let's be perfect.
What up? Welcome to Perfect Mode. And first off, I want to start by telling y'all that we love y'all. We're grateful for the opportunity to be anywhere sharing our thoughts and hopefully helping you realize that you are perfect. And the reason why I can say that unapologetically is because I know that you are one of one, numero uno. You cannot be replicated, duplicated. And the only reason you would think that you're not perfect is if you look into the person next to you and saying, I'm not them. But you are you, and that's all you need. And of course, it's yours truly, Troy Washington, your friendly neighborhood realtor. And I have my boy Jay Clay, spiritual rapper and teacher. And we also got a special guest today. And I want y'all to shout out to my girl, Miss Tiff. What up, Miss Tiff?
What's up? Hey. How is everybody? I hope everybody is doing well out there today. The sun is shining. It's a good day.
It's a beautiful day. It's a perfect day.
Yes, perfect, absolutely.
Perfect, do the perfect things on perfect mode.
Yeah. So, you know, we got to, you know, get into this today. We want to talk about alone but not lonely, transforming isolation into self-discovery. Alone but not lonely. See, people be getting it confused, but you know, Jay, I want to know what your thoughts were today when you came up with that topic.
Before we jump into that, I want to just give some announcements real quick. I want to say shout out to those on our Patreon. Join our Patreon. Shout out to Jeff, one of our donors. We appreciate the support. Be sure to do the same as well and check it out. And also, as you know, every Monday we do a 24-hour water fast. You can do the entire Monday or you can do from when you last ate today. I have not started. Sometimes I've started before the show, but I haven't started yet. It's a good way to reset and just fast with us. So, yeah. And we got Troy's image back, which is great man. To see. Let's talk about the topic. So you asked alone but not lonely, where it came from. Essentially it came from just hearing people having a bad reaction to being by themselves, in a sense. And I know in some many ways I can't relate, because I do enjoy solitude at times. And I thought it would be a good way to talk about it. So those who might not see the positive side of being alone or in isolation, just talk about the positive sides of what it can bring and compare it to the feeling of loneliness, just to see if we can get to the root of it and see, you know, where we go from there.
So I want to first give my thoughts on it, and then I go to Tiff and see what she thinks about it as well. So I think that a lot of times that when you talk about being alone, people try to tie it to relationship or being in a relationship with people, or having maybe just a lot of people around you. You know what I mean? Like, you know, family reunion or being in a house where you're, you know, you got a lot of siblings and things of that nature. But when I think about it, I think about it more from a mental standpoint, because you can be in a relationship and be alone, or you can be or feel alone, or you can be around, you know, a lot of people and feel alone. And so when I think about, you know, being alone but not lonely, that's the first thing that comes to my mind. You know, just what is your mental scape when it comes to it? But Tiff, what you got?
This is a really, really good topic, and I talk to people about it a lot, because for me, like, I can relate to being alone but not lonely, right? So I was married for 17 years, so I had kids and all those things, and then I got divorced, And then once I got divorced, that's when life changed for me, right? So I had to figure out, you know, who I was. And in order to do that, I had to go into solitude, you know? So I had to go into solitude as far as my thinking, as far as, you know, the people I was hanging out with, reevaluating my relationships and all of those things. But I couldn't do that until I had to come to reality for myself and say, you know what, I'm going to have to step back and evaluate everything. And so it took a while. In the beginning, I was lonely, right? But as I did the work, I started going to therapy, and I realized that, you know what, I'm not lonely. I'm just alone, meaning I don't have all of these different relationships that I thought I needed. I'm not trying to fit what society says that I need to do, and, you know, things like that. So I'm still a work in progress, but I find real joy in the being alone.
Quick question. Was there like a defining thought or defining something that allowed you to make that switch? Or did it kind of happen? Was it gradual? Because I know you mentioned therapy as well.
Mm-hmm. It was definitely gradual. Yeah, it was definitely gradual over time. It took years for me to realize that, oh, okay, being by myself is not a bad thing. I realized that, you know what, I am an introvert, and it's okay to be an introvert, because some people think that, oh, I'm an introvert and I want to be alone and I need my me time, it's a bad thing. I'm being selfish, or I'm acting funny. And that's not it. It's okay, because sometimes that's what you need. Like, you have to be who you are so that you can be who you are for other people. And sometimes we try to mask that because we want to make the people around us happy, but you're not happy. So I feel like you need to make sure that you're happy, so that way you can show, you know, show up for everybody else, show up as your authentic self to everyone else.
Yeah. So are you going to say something, Jay, about that?
I was going to say, I love that, but I saw you had something to say.
No. I mean, again, it's just all the thoughts that run through my mind, because I know that from Tiff's standpoint, we're talking about a romantic relationship, and then, you know, where she went after the fact. But I guess the thing that stands out the most to me, and the thing that I kind of want to highlight, especially if we're talking about a romantic relationship, you can be in a romantic relationship and be alone. Like, if you're one of the best things that I feel like you said was, I had to go within myself. And so when I hear people say that, or anybody say, because I've heard people say it before, I've even said it myself, I had to go within myself. When I went within myself, that's the first time that I ever felt like I was not alone. That's the first time I was able to actually be able to feel the presence of the people around me. See, it's one thing for me to look around and see everybody and say that I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. But not understanding who I am, and not feeling who I am, and really being lonely. Like,
yeah.
And so go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, for me, the nighttime was the worst, because that's when I was alone, like solitude, and had to be with my thoughts. Right. Everybody was good, you know, the people around me, they were gone, they weren't there, so I didn't have a choice but to sit in my thoughts and say to myself, what am I doing? You know, I can't, I'm trying to make all these other people happy, but I'm not happy myself. And so in order for me to be happy, I'm gonna have to let some people go or stop doing certain things. My motto is, I always choose me, regardless, in every single situation, no matter what it is, no matter what it looks like, when it comes to work, when it comes to my friendships, whatever, I'm always going to choose me first. Right. So if it makes me feel a type of way, if I don't feel good about it, I'm not going to do it. Simple as that. And people, they either accept that or they move around. And if they move around, then that means that they were not for me in the first place.
Yeah. And I want to read what Loretta said. She said, yes, alone time is critical. And I agree. And I do want to get to the root, because I like getting to the root of everything. And one thing you mentioned, Ms. Tiff, was about your thoughts, sitting alone with your thoughts. And I find a lot of people don't always do that. And sometimes you hear extroverts, they like being around people because they never have to sit alone with their thoughts. They're always doing, moving. But my question then is, when you sit with your thoughts and when you started to sit with your thoughts, were you surprised by anything? Was it easier than you thought? Was it more difficult?
It was hard, right? It was hard because it was a battle of, okay, should I be doing this? Because again, you know, I'm trying to make everyone else happy, right? And so if I'm follow what my thoughts are thinking, then that means I'm gonna have to stop talking to you, I'm gonna have to stop talking to you, or I'm gonna have to stop talking to certain people. So it was a battle within myself, like, okay, is this right? Is this what I should be doing? If I let them go, is it gonna be okay? You know, I had to come to the realization that the things that I was thinking and feeling was gonna be better for me. And like I said, that took me some time. It took me some time to realize that it's okay for you to be you. It's okay for you to be who you are. You know, it's not selfish, or you're not acting a type of way because you choose you, because you choose to act on who you really are as a person.
See, and again, this is just my interpretation of it. I guess as it pertains to my own life. When you choose not to sit with your thoughts, or you choose to not put you in the forefront, I think that's the recipe for being alone. Because you know, to your point, J. Clay, as an extrovert, and I don't want to frame all extroverts this way or say that anybody thinks this way, I'm just saying somebody that's an extrovert that feels like they should always be out demonstrative, like, you know, being available and all of these different things, when they don't have those things and they have to rely on the one person that's always there with them, that person is not there with them. That's why they feel alone. That's why they feel the loneliness. Like, this person don't ever go anywhere. And the way that I like to think about it is, whenever I'm eating a chip, the loudest thing that I can hear is inside my head. Like, whenever I'm sitting and when I'm talking to my friends, even if I'm not 100% locked in on every word that you say, there's another person in my head that's talking louder than you. But what do you think about this? But what do you think about this? So the reason why I never have the opportunity to feel lonely, though I felt lonely in the past, and I have my you say we're a work in process, Tiff, is the fact that person that's always there is not foreign to me. He's become important to me. And so because he's important and he's not foreign and I understand him and I'm listening to him and I understand, like you said, my best interest, like, he's only telling me what I want half the time. So, you know, because he's not foreign, I never have that sense of loneliness. I'm going to read what Angela K. Clay said. She said, there's nobody else for you to be but you.
And Loretta also said, I love the way you honor your feelings, Ms. Tiff. That's very resonant with me. And so I do have a question to both of you then. So, like, Troy, you touched on feeling that loneliness, right? Like you when you sit and when you're forced to kind of be alone with yourself and you're feeling it, is it a feeling of despair, or is it a series of thoughts going through your mind? Like if we could define it in some way, what is it? Or what did you think it was, and what did you see it for what it was later?
Well, okay, so two things here. I didn't understand what it was whenever I was experiencing it. Mm-hmm. So I could be sitting around and I can literally just feel like, why is nobody not with me? Again, I'm going to use a real life situation. I love basketball, right? I mean, of course, I coach. I like watching basketball, and that's my thing. That's Troy's thing, right? But my thing, I wanted to have people to be a part of my thing with me, so that way I didn't feel alone doing it. Because it's always better to do things with people that you love and people that want to have fun with you, right? And so because of the way that I am in my house, like, when my wife wants to watch a show or my kids want to watch something, like, I watch anime. Now, I don't want to get it twisted. I like anime. But I didn't realize how much I like anime until my son started watching anime and said, I want you to watch this with me. So I watched it with him because, again, my mentality is you do stuff with somebody so that way you can not feel lonely. You can feel included. You can feel that camaraderie, right? Same thing with my wife. She want to watch a show. I don't care what it is, whether it's something that I'm into or not, I'm going to watch it. And I get into it like it's my show. But then when I sat back and then I watched a basketball game and everybody's in here and everybody's doing something different, you know, playing on their phones or doing it, whatever, there's a sense that a feeling that comes over you like, why everybody ain't doing what I want to do? Why everybody not included in what I'm going to do, right? And so in those moments, I wouldn't call it despair, but there's a sense of I'm not connected to anybody. So because I'm not connected to anybody, really, who am I? Like, you know, what's really going on with me? And so the thing that I had to tell myself was, well, first of all, when I recognized it, I had to stop myself from feeling any type of way about it, first of all. Because the thing I had to remind myself is everybody around here loves me, whether they're connected to me or not. So that was the shift for myself. And then from that point, I started to remember the reason why I do watch basketball. It's because I love it, like I told y'all. And if I love something, back to Miss Tiff's point, like I'm following Troy. And mm-hmm. so there doesn't have to be anything included in it. And I can enjoy myself with myself and still have the outcome that I was projecting that I had to have everybody else included. So I sit in the house and my family can be right there and I'm up yelling at the TV, crunk, doing all the crazy stuff. And now I don't feel like it has to be anybody. I'm not lonely anymore. I'm not alone anymore. And I'm not lonely anymore. And I'm with myself and I'm enjoying it. Go ahead, Jay.
Did you want to add something to that, Mr.?
And see, for introverts, it's different, right? So we're in the crowded room and our mind is saying, why are we here? Like, I'm ready to go home. I need to get away. Or, you know, so it's like we're trying to beat the clock, you know what I mean? Before we our social battery runs out, you know? So we're sitting there and we're laughing. We may be having a good time, but in the brain, we're like, okay, I'm ready to go. I need to go to my space, you know, I need to get into my solitude. So, you know, being an introverts should be able to accept being lonely because that's what they do. That's what they prefer. That's what they thrive off of. They thrive off of being to themselves in their bubble, you know, but I've met a lot of introverts that feel like being an introvert is a bad thing because people look at them like, why are you keeping to yourself? Or why are you being antisocial? You know, they may look at it, you know, like that. And so some introverts like me in the beginning was trying to cover that up, you know, for people, because you don't want people to think that you are antisocial or that you don't want to be around them. You don't want to hang out with them. You do. You just don't want to do it a long time, or you don't want to do, you know, too much of it. You want to be able to go to yourself, keep to yourself. So
I got a question to you about that as well from that standpoint. When you were trying to hide it, right? Mm-hmm. When you were deciding that, okay, being an introvert is not a good thing. I don't need everybody to know I'm an introvert.
Right.
The question is, during that time, did you feel lonely?
I did. Because I feel like I was lonely because I wasn't being true to myself. I'm trying to make everybody else happy, right? Because I wasn't doing the things that I want to do. I'm going to these events that I really don't want to go to because you asked me to go, and I want to make sure that I honor you. But I wasn't honoring myself because I'm showing up for other people, but I'm not showing up for myself.
So I want to tell you what's funny about the introvert versus the extrovert, because I feel like I am extrovert. I don't think that I'm an introvert, even though I like to be in and alone sometimes. But the way that they are so similar is, for me, I was wanting everybody to be like me, right? Mm-hmm. I was wanting everybody to be like me. Like I wanted to be a part of it so that they would be a part of something with me, right? And just trying to control the situation in a way that I was going to make me feel better. Or on the introvert side, like, you're doing the exact same thing, but in reverse. Like, you're really going to the party because you want everybody to accept your introvertedness whenever you decide to do it. I want everybody to accept my extrovertedness when I was ready to do it. Like, I want everybody to come over and be crazy with me, right?
Yeah.
And so it's funny that it's really the same thing. It's just how we look at it. Go ahead, Jay.
I want to read what Tommy Jones said.
Being an
introvert is normal for some, but could come from trauma for most. It's a place of security from outside hurt. We must know the difference in when to heal or operate safely as an introvert. So I'll say to that I do consider myself an introvert, or maybe I'm an extroverted introvert or introverted extrovert.
Extrovert, real talk though, real talk. I feel that.
But the thing that I am now, because I'm very secure now, but I don't know if I always was, is I could be somewhere and be secure in doing my own thing in a sense. But I will say that kind of came from practice, because I remember when I was younger, people just didn't always want to do what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like what Ms. Tiff touched on, like, okay, are you gonna be true to yourself? Are you gonna have fun for you, or are you gonna be miserable for other people? And I think that's one of the key differences when you really look at yourself, like see it. Do you get something for being miserable for someone else? Like, is that prize worth it? And if not, why even choose it?
And I just kind of piggyback on what you're saying and on what Tip is saying, just to respond to Tommy when he said being an introvert is normal for some, but could come from trauma for most. And I would tell you the trauma that we all have. Not just an introvert because of trauma or an extrovert because of trauma, because some extroverts are extroverts because of trauma as well. You know, just trying to make people not see what they're trying to hide is one of the ways that I've seen that. But we're all prone to some type of trauma that's stopping us from being us, because at the end of the day, the finish line for us all is for us to be 100% wholeheartedly, unapologetically you. And there's trauma in us all that makes us feel like that's not all right, because we all, whether introvert or extrovert, could fall in that category. And just to kind of read what, go ahead, Tim.
I'm sorry. No, I was just saying, sometimes it's trauma, but sometimes it's society. Society can be rough for someone who cannot navigate it.
Yeah. So, go ahead, Jay.
One thing I say, like, about like social media, right? The only time I feel bad on social media is if I'm not doing the stuff that I want to do for me or doing what I'm supposed to do.
Real like, talk though, like, man.
If I'm on my mission, or if I'm in my joy and my love and I see other people in their joy and their love, I'm like, man, that is awesome. Look, everybody can do it. It's great. But if I'm maybe avoiding something that I need to do for me, and I'm making excuses, or I'm doubting myself, when I get on social media, that's when that society hits. It's like, they having fun and my life sucks. It's just stupid. It's just,
one of the things that I tell my kids, I'm telling myself all the time, bro, is don't worry. Brody would come to me and be like, so daddy, how many pieces of candy did TJ get? And I'd be like, bro, quit worrying about him. Like, did you get like the key here is the worry word, right? Mm-hmm. One thing that I think about, Jay, is when me and you went to Miami and we got up at 7 o'clock in the morning and we went outside and we sold CDs from hand to hand from 7 o'clock in the morning to like 9 or 10 at night. We didn't eat all day. The reason we didn't eat all day is because we were so attuned to what we were trying to do. And again, there were people outside selling CDs. There were, you know, it was a bunch of stuff going on, and we witnessed it, but we were not watching it. And so because we were so attuned to what we were doing, we didn't worry about anything, including food, the thing that you feel like you need every day. And to y'all's point, and to the point that you were making, Jay, like when you locked into you, like for real, when you locked into you, it's not a worry, it's not a hurdle. And the same thing with me, the only time I feel bad is whenever I'm questioning myself based off of what somebody else does.
Yep.
It's that simple. Go ahead, Tiff. I know you got something on that.
That is absolutely correct. Like, you have to be locked in with yourself. And it's nothing that happens overnight. It's a practice. you got to stay on top of, because there's a lot of things around us that'll knock us off our game, you know, and make us feel like, or make us question, you know, ourselves. So that's why, you know, it's constant. That's why therapy is important. Or if you, whatever your routine is, that's what you need to stick to for you so that you can stay on it. If you, you know, like for me, my job is stressful. I'm in healthcare management. So I have to make sure that I get up in the morning. I do, you know, go to the gym, have my slow mornings, whatever it is that's going to work for me to keep my day, you know, going. Because if not, then I'm going to, you know, be feeling the type of way. I'm going to be questioning what I'm doing, you know, whatever. You got to be solid with yourself. You got to be solid.
Go ahead. What I love about that is just the word choice. You got to be solid. We're talking about solitude. And it's like, in order to, in a sense, present yourself the best to people, you kind of have to be to, not to yourself, but by yourself, and work out yourself first. Mm-hmm. And it seems backwards in a sense, but it's not. It's like to be the best extrovert, you need to be inverted in some way, at least be rooted in yourself in some way. And it's cool. And I want to ask y'all, like what are some practices? Are there some things that someone who is just feeling lonely most of the time, like an action step that they can do?
So I'll go first. But before I answer the question, man, about action steps or things that you can do, I want to highlight something you said, Jay. And I'm saying that just so that way me and Tiff can be on the same page when it comes to everything. And this is kind of the way that our show always goes, Tiff, and we always got to check ourselves this way, right?
Mm-hmm.
You classified yourself as an introvert, and I classified myself as an extrovert. And Jay Clay came back and said, I'm an introverted extrovert, or extroverted introvert, however you want to say it, right?
Yeah.
And the reason why I point these things out is because we are all things, you know, and some things shine a lot more than others, but we are all things, and we can be great or a competent or, you know, the best at all things. And just again, point being, me being in solitude sometimes are my greatest times. And I know for a fact Miss Tiff has a show that y'all should check out, that you would not even, if you were literally just thinking about introvert on a baseline, you wouldn't think that they would be doing a show, right?
Right.
But you're having an extroverted action of expressing yourself. Shouts out to my Uncle Didi as well, who classifies himself as an introvert, but is a whole comedian, goes on stage and performs every week. But when he's not on the stage, he is to himself. So I just said that to say that I love Jay's introverted extrovert, because the reality of it is we are all things. And if I could tell you one thing, go ahead.
Bro, I was going to say, you actually said an action step, I kind of think. Like, truly look at yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you look at yourself, you're like, wow, I can do this. I am doing this. I am this too. Like, I'm this, but I'm also this as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And shouts out to Angela K. Clay. She says, the more you know and accept about you, the better you are. And, you know, just another action step. I know Ms. Tiff said counseling, and I co-sign counseling. I've been to counseling before as well. But I would also, you know, one thing we push on this show all the time, that's meditate. You know, allow, be still, mm-hmm. you know, and just listen. And you don't even have to always have an answer. You know, just allow whatever you hear to be what you hear. And you can analyze that as it comes, but you can go, Miss Tiff. I know you got something too.
One thing that works for me is journaling. So writing it down. And my type of journaling is I write it down and I forget about it. And then I come back a month or two later to see my growth, right? So I'm writing everything, you know, how I'm feeling, you know, why I felt that way, if something triggered me, you know, whatever. I'm writing all these things down. And after I put the pen down, I'm done with it until I come back, you know, like I said, a month later, and I read it again to see, okay, have I gotten better from that?
From that.
Am I still struggling with that? What do I need to do to be better, or if I've grown and gotten better or moved past it, you know, I think about, okay, what did I do to help me, you know? So journaling for sure.
Quick question about that, because
yeah, I knew you were gonna ask.
A couple of episodes ago, like, we talked about journaling and how it's so effective, but Troy and I, we're not sure how to do it effectively. So my question is, like, is it more like a brain dump? Is it how you feeling? Do you have prompts? Like, what? Mm-hmm. How do you go about?
No, mine is more of a brain dump. So if I'm feeling like if I'm feeling away, it's almost, you know, kind of like meditation. Like, if you're feeling away, I go into that solitude, quiet room. You know, nobody there but me and my thoughts. You know, I don't have a choice but to hear, you know, what's going on in my brain, and I just write it. I write it. Like I said, I write what the problem is, what triggered me, why it happened, all of it. You write it, put it on paper so you can see it, black and white.
Now, this is just another question for everybody that's listening too, because I know other people had questions about the scribing part as well, and we'll tell you about savers later, but it's a brain dump. You write how you feel. I love the fact that you said I analyze the problem, so you pointed it towards something, which is, I feel like, is important. But I guess the next question about the journaling is there a specific time of day that you do it? Do you wait till the end of the day? Do you do it in the morning? Like, I mean, I probably not in the morning, but when do you actually do it?
I do it as soon as it happens. Don't wait. For me, I feel like, don't wait. Like, a lot of people do. They're like, okay, I'm in my day by journaling, you know, but for me, by then I might be over it and forgot about, you know, what I'm wanted to write, or, you know, whatever. So I immediately, like, I have a journal in my purse. So I immediately, or either I'll pull out my phone and it's in my notes. You know what I mean? So as soon as it's happening for me, I get it out of my brain right then and there.
So I would say this, and you can tell me if I'm right, and this is for all the listeners as well. For you, we would say that journaling is highlight provoked. So if there's a highlight in your life, you will write it down, how you feel about it. And do you actually have an action item tied to it? I know you said you forget, but do you say, like, maybe, you know, by a week now, I just want to feel better, or this is how I'm going to handle it? Or do you just literally just brain dump based off of that highlight, and then when I look at it again, hopefully I don't feel the same?
Yeah, so brain dump, I write it all down. And like I said, once I'm done writing, that's it for me. I'm not going to dwell on it anymore. I'm not going to address the issue like that. I'm done. Right. We're moving on.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So for me, the point of journaling is so that I can move on from it.
Yeah. I love that. And that was my question. Like, are you able to let go from it? And what I think is powerful about that is sometimes, you know, we can vent to people, and the person we're venting to, it allows them to then reflect it back to us on a more permanent basis, when really it was meant to just be let go of, be addressed and let go of. And
yeah, or they make it worse. Or they make it worse for you. Like, you know, now you're venting to them. Now they venting back to you about your problem, and they all worked up. Now we both worked up. So
we better go whip somebody now.
Now this situation is worse. Now I'm real mad.
Real talk. I love that too, because even on this topic, like, you know, like, some people use venting as a coping mechanism, but mm-hmm. this gives another way to, you still accomplish the same thing, but you also get to go into that solitude and turn it into a strength instead of a possibility of a burden.
Yeah, you vent on paper, and nobody else is talking back to you, swaying how you feel about it. Because you might feel like, yeah, you know what, I'm done. And then somebody else might be like, no, I think you need to address it. Now you're trying to, should I address it? Should I not? Whereas if you just journal it, write it down, because right then and there is how you really feel about that situation. It's how you feel about that situation. So just write it down, let it go. Whereas if you're talking to somebody else about it, they're swaying the way you really feel about it.
So I'm gonna ask you another question, but I want to say something before I ask the question, right? And again, this is just Troy's mentality on it. The reason why, first of all, I love the scribing, I love the journaling, though I haven't mastered it, right? And there's a reason why we're gonna have more questions for you, I feel like, anyway. But the reason why you can feel alone or lonely, either way, is because the person that's right with you is not always there. And I'm just going to keep saying that over and over again. Like, there's a person that's with you that's either a part of your world or not. Either you're in tune with this person or you're not. That person is always talking in all circumstances and all situations. And the reason why I'm pointing out the journaling part with you is because that is a confirmation that you had somebody with you the whole time. Even if that person thought different than the way you think right now. And so I say that to say that if you get in tune with this person, you'll never feel alone because he or she is always, they always have your back. They always have your back if you allow them to. And so back to the question that I was going to ask you when it came to journaling. And this is just so that way we can be as clear as possible, because I think that your method would be helpful to people. Mm-hmm. You said once you write it, you're done with it until, you know, you decide to revisit and look at them, right? And I asked you, was it highlight driven? And you said yes. So mm-hmm. I would assume, and I'm saying this just to get clarification, you can have multiple entries in a day. So if in the morning something bothered you, you wrote it down to let it go. And then in the afternoon, something else different came up, you will write that down to let it go. And at the end of the day, same thing. And you will have an entry or three entries during the day that maybe later down the week, hopefully you've let those things go. And when you look at them again, it's more of a triumphant celebration that look how much I've grown from here to there. Right?
That's absolutely it. That is absolutely okay. It. I can have multiple entries per day.
I love that. I love that. I mean, because again, when you're trying to find a way to journal, there's so many different methods and so many different ways that you can go about doing it, but just having a highlight driven journal is tight. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. So one more question about, because I don't mean to make it about journaling, but it does tie on this topic so nicely.
Yeah.
Do you also, because I know Troy mentioned highlights, but because it can seem like a negative connotation of things you want to let go of. Mm-hmm. Do you know if journaling works with positive aspects too? Like things that mm-hmm. that excite you, like, ooh, I want to journal about this too.
It absolutely does. That's I journal about any and everything that's going on. If it's something that made me super happy, if it's something that I feel like I need to let go, whatever. My journal is, and that's why I'm thinking, like, I don't have, you know, I know people follow, you know, journaling methods, you know, there's 100 different types. I don't, like, they're like, oh, I got to go buy this type of journal. I got a spiral notebook, and I write any and everything, the happy times, the bad times, the angry times, whatever it is. One thing that I did during COVID, it was like a documentation. So every day I would write what was going on with COVID, right? Like, oh, today they shut down all the supermarkets because COVID is on a rampage, right? Oh, today they created a vaccine or whatever. So when I go back and read that, I get to follow the timeline of what was going on during COVID, because once it's gone, we forgot.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah. I can go back to those journals and read, like, oh, dang, during this time, this is what was happening, you know? And for me as well, like, oh, I have anxiety around COVID, but now I'm like, oh, okay, COVID is what it was, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. You write it and you just forget about it, don't, and you know, and then you go back and you read it later and you're like, dang, I came a long way. I used to be this person. Today, I'm a different person. Or, you know, what did I do? What kind of work did I do to become who I am today? And it was like, oh, dang, she used to be my friend. What happened to us? Oh, this is what happened. It's all there, you know, and you just kind of, it's like a victory to see that, dang, I've come a long way. I've been doing the work. I am getting better. Like, that's how you know if you're getting better or not, or if you are being true to yourself or not.
So I want to say this, Jay. That's the reason why I chose the word highlight, because that's what I was thinking. I literally was thinking that anything that stood out to you in your day, whether good or bad. And again, I got to tell you that of all the different ways that I've ever heard the journal, I love your way the most. And that's no cap. It's literally, it gave me an answer to a lot of questions when it came to when, where, how, and what. Mm-hmm. I just really think that's dope, and I definitely co-sign that here with Perfect Mode in conjunction with the meditating. And Jay, you know, what do you think is a, you know?
Well, what's funny is, so, okay, again, I bring back why we brought up journaling is because there's a book called The Miracle Morning, and they talk about an acronym of SABERS, which is the S is for silence or meditation, A is for affirmations, V is for visualization, E is for exercise, R is for reading something beneficial to you, and S is for scribing or journaling. And what's funny though about all of those things is they can help you with that loneliness versus isolated feeling, because each of those has that thing that kind of empowers you to see yourself in a new light, to see that you don't necessarily need to be around other people to be validated, but you could still be around them. It just doesn't mean it negates your worth or in any way. So I just think that that's cool.
Yeah, and two, I'm gonna tell you what I like about SABERS. It's like a side life purpose. You know what I'm saying? Like when I get up in the mornings now, right? Because silence is the very first thing. I have been making that. I was tending to do it at first, because I told you when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I say is I'm amazing a million times, right? Until I feel that way. But the cool part, since we did the SABERS show, I look forward to getting up in the mornings to be quiet. And I also tried to see how long. Now it's a challenge because, you know, when I get up in the morning, I take my kids to school in the morning. So I try not to say anything until I see my kids first thing. So I'm just literally just laying here quiet. I get up, I brush my teeth, I'm quiet. I put on my clothes, I'm quiet. I try not to talk because it's something. I mean, we know it's something about it. But I think that having these types of things in place give you a purpose, and it makes you look forward to it. Just like when you finish exercising, I don't care what anybody says, I have never seen somebody finish exercising and not feel victorious.
Yeah.
Ever.
Never.
Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. And it's funny you say that, like, just going back to the introvert extrovert thing, the silence, it comes easy for an introvert.
Yeah.
Right? So for me, I purposely set my alarm an hour early so that I can have the silence.
That's cool.
Before I get up, before I do anything. And it might be I'm awake, but I'm just laying there with my thoughts thinking, you know, I may think about how the day's going to go. I want to make sure today, like you said, you tell yourself that you're amazing. I'm telling myself today is going to be a joyous day, because I strive to live a joyous life in every single day, regardless of what I'm doing or what it is. Right. So I'm like, okay, what can I do to make sure that I find joy in the day, you know, at some point in the day? So I purposely set my alarm an hour before I need to actually be up and moving. And I just sit in silence. I don't say anything. I don't do anything. I don't listen to anything. I don't, just silence.
This brings up another thought about those that might be struggling with, you know, feeling alone. Even amongst other people, I wonder, could this be a beneficial exercise to be around people, but be silent? Like, be around the people that you would normally talk with, but just be silent. Like I'm very okay being around my friends and family and not saying a word. Like, but I know everyone is not like that. And I wonder, could that be beneficial to someone that's feeling like this, like as a way to practice without having to go full fledged alone?
Bro, I'm going to tell you, I was listening to, I don't know if I was listening to like the radio in the car or if I was listening to a podcast. And it was a relationship deal. And it was a guy, he was talking about him, his wife. Now, I'm not, for everybody that's listening that might be married or in a relationship, I'm not saying this is a one-size-fits-all deal. I'm telling you what I heard from it, what I extrapolated from it, and how I feel about it. He talked about how him and his wife would be sitting next to each other, but they wouldn't be talking, right? And in that time, the first thing that came to his mind, and this is to your point, Jay, you were saying, how could it be helpful, right? What happened was, the first thing that came to his mind was something is wrong. We're here and something is wrong. And the reason why it stuck out to me, and again, this wasn't something I was trying to listen to, it was just something that I caught, was because there have been plenty of times where I sat with Charnay and we weren't talking. And the first thing that I would turn her up, like, what's wrong? What's wrong with you? Like, what's going on? What's, you know, tell me what the deal is, right? But in his thing, he went on in his you know, his talk, he went on to say that he grew to realize that he was creating a problem within himself. And so he stopped saying something was wrong when they were silent. And again, it wasn't something that he got at first, but eventually he was just like, oh, we just in a good space right now. We just cool. And so without words, the intention in his body and everything that kind of flow, his whole essence, his whole aura changed. And so now they're sitting in silence, but there is a peaceful love is the best way that I can explain it, right? And so I came home and I told Charnay that this too, because I know, again, I'm a person that would say what's wrong, or she would tell me what's wrong too. And so we told each other at that time, when we're in silence, there's nothing wrong. We just chilling. And if there's something wrong, then we'll get to it when we get to it. But there's nothing. We can't just automatically assume nothing's wrong. And what ended up happening in time was it made me better. Not for her, not based off of, but it was based off, to answer your question, can sitting in silence with somebody help you to grow in whatever way? That my relationship with her helped me all the way around with everybody that I'm with, because now I can be around other people and not have to be engaged. Again, I told you how I am. I'm the type of person that's like, I'm watching a basketball game. Let's get it. Everybody, let's get crunk. So now, you know, all of these little things play a role in me being able to be silent around or be myself by myself and be happy. Go ahead.
Yeah, I like that you said that, because that's something that my friends understand about me. Now, these are people that I've been friends with for a long time. Like, you know, we'll go out and I'm okay with, I'm having a good time, but I'm sitting there, I'm not talking, I may not be engaging or whatever, I'm enjoying the moment, but because I'm sitting there, you know, some people will look at you and be like, are you okay? Are you having a good time? Mm. Is, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm fine. I'm just quiet, you know, because I'm enjoying the moment. And so my friends, they understand that about me. So when we go out, it's like, you know, just because she ain't dancing or doing XYZ, she's having a good time. This is just who, you know, she's just, this what, it's good. It's okay. You know, so you've got people, the people around you have to understand that too.
Funny, I'll say this as well. Well, number one, I told you I went to my wife and I actually told her what I heard so we can kind of be on the same page. But I listened to your show when you actually talked about that too, right? Mm-hmm. So shouts out to you. If y'all don't know, y'all check out Miss Tiff. So yes. Conversation starters, right?
Yes.
But this is what I want to say too, to your point when you said, you know, other people have to accept it, right? And it's to the point of me telling my wife, but sometimes people are not going to accept it. You have to show them. Mm-hmm. Because again, the people that are around you and love you, which should be everybody that's around you, everybody in your world is there because you put them there. They're only going to react and respond to you based off what you've given them in the past. That's all they got to go on. And mm-hmm. So though they may not get it at first, somebody eventually will probe. And the reason why they were able to figure it out with you, Tip, is because they broached the conversation multiple times. Are you okay? Why are you sitting here looking like, why are you not looking like us? And they put you on point to teach them how you are. Mm-hmm. And then the proof was in the pudding because you kept going. But go ahead. I know you got something on this.
But now, even to your point, I love that too, because not every probing question has to be a bad thing. Like, you know, like sometimes even when people ask what's wrong, somebody might react in a negative way. Why something got to be wrong? Why, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But
I love that it doesn't have to be. And because it's allowing you to have a teachable moment to your environment, to the people mm-hmm. that you want to be around, to the space that you want to be in. Because essentially that's what being silent is around people. You're just being, not even necessarily looking at your phone or anything. You're just, as Ms. Tiff said, enjoying the moment in mm-hmm. all that it has, because it's called a present for a reason. It's the present moment because it is a gift.
I'm gonna tell you what's crazy about this whole conversation. In the beginning, we were talking about how the only time we kind of would trip is when we're looking on social media and we see people doing things that, you know, it kind of sways our opinion of what we're doing and it makes us feel some type of way, right? And then the other part to this is, you know, just using Miss Tiff as the example, these people looking at her and her peace, not recognizing that it's peace and saying, why you don't look like we look? You know what I'm saying? And it's funny how it can play both sides. Like, it really can play both sides, because the craziest thing about it, they're lonely in their state of being. So they're trying to bring you into their state of being, even though your state of being in this instance may not actually be the most appealing to them. But the reality of it is the most appealing to them, because they're judging themselves based off of how you are. And that's what's funny about it. It's just kind of funny how that mother plays both sides of the fence like that. Go ahead, Jay.
So I have a question. Can y'all tell, can you look at someone and tell when they're lonely?
I don't feel like I can. Cause I played that game before. Well, I thought I knew what was going on, and I was completely all the way wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know that I can.
People do a good job of hiding it.
Yeah.
People do a good job of hiding it. But then some people, you can look at them and you can tell, like, yeah.
you know what I'll say to that? What I'll say to that is, where I can't tell if somebody is lonely. What I will do is, and that's why I said we train people who we are. So if there's somebody that I'm around Jay Clay, I'm not really around, but I talk to him every week. If he gets on and he's talking to me in a different way based off of historical data, I'm gonna be like, you good, bro? Because of what he's presenting to me. So if there's somebody around me they have a different kind of energy than I'm used to, mm-hmm. then I might think that they're lonely. If they're exhibiting what I would feel like is a lonely energy, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's the best way I could say it. What about you, Jay?
So for me, it's not that I'm trying to think how to say it, because it's one, I wouldn't classify them as lonely, but they might need some kind of connection or something. So like even with friends, people I talk to, every now and then they might have a day where they just talk a whole lot, but it's kind of like, okay, they need this today for some reason. Just what it is. And the only reason I know that is because every now and then I might have a day where I just talk a lot when that's not a normal thing, when it's just like I'm usually just being quiet. So it's so it's not, maybe not that far to loneliness, I would say, but just needing some kind of connection.
You know, I'm gonna say this, Jay, and I'm just gonna talk about me and your conversation first of all, because I know some days I jumped on and I just was rolling like, hey, bro, let me tell you this. And I know you do that much sometimes too. And I said that to say this, because both of us do this. We be like, man, my bad for being on here so much. Like, we don't got to be apologetic for you letting it all out. You know what I'm saying? No matter what that mug is. And the only reason why I say that, and it's simply based off of the point that you made, the person receiving it sometimes can recognize and be like, they need this right now. And so, you know, just let that go. That's what I would tell you. But go ahead. You got something, Miss Tiff, on that? Oh, you got something, Jay?
Go ahead, Miss Tiff.
No, I was just gonna say, and that comes with, I did a episode about friendships on my podcast. That comes with, I feel like you have to know your people, right? You have to know your circle, know your people that you hang around. Like you mentioned that when you talk to Clay, you know, y'all get on the, you can tell when something's different about him, right? Yeah. Because y'all have been knowing each other and you've seen the way he acts and you know when he's off. And that's why you have to know your friends, and you have to know your family, so that you can recognize, you know, when they're having an off day or when they're, you know, having a good day. You know, even if you know when your friends are super excited that something must really happen good for you, and so you'll be like, what you super excited today, what happened with you, or what happened, what triggered that, or you know, whatever. So you got to be in tune, you know, with your people.
Yeah and
what you got, Jay?
We have like 6 minutes left now. I want to kind of recap, because this is a great conversation, and I want to bring it back just so people know what to do if they're ever feeling this type of way, this type of loneliness. And one of the key things that it started off with was, it's your thoughts. Like sometimes you can be caught in this thought pattern where you're de-affirming yourself in a way. Like you feel like, I'm not enough. Nobody's around me. I always help people out, but then when I need help, nobody's around. Like all of these de-affirming statements are coming up, but the key is get ahead of it. Like have something on your wall of affirming statements. Start your day out with silence, with a clean slate, and start to feed yourself the ideas that you want. Journal, like let it out, like let out all that good stuff. What else? What am I missing?
I think you hit them. Journaling, know yourself. I would tell everybody, look, Jay said positive talk. You know, make sure you tell yourself the right things, right? Like, because you can get in a situation where you're telling yourself that you're by yourself, you're alone, you don't have nobody, all of these different things. But what I would tell you to recognize is recognize you. That to me, that's one of the biggest, like, recognize you. When a baby comes into this world, right, the baby can hear and see everybody around them, but only the baby knows how the baby feels. Only the baby can, you know, recognize. And like, imagine if a baby felt alone. Like, the baby knows everybody's around him, but the baby can never feel alone because the baby is processing and learning himself over and over again every day until he can start to communicate with people. And so when you have the talk, the self-talk that's not necessarily the most positive, if you recognize that you are still there, you have a pathway for changing it. And Tiff, what you got on the subject you want to leave people with?
Yeah, I definitely, you know, agree with that. Like, you have to, it just goes back to make sure you solid with yourself, know yourself, be solid with yourself. So that way nobody can knock you off your game. Yeah.
Solid. So embrace solitude.
Solitude. Yeah, I love it. Right, it's okay.
Be alone. Recognize you ain't lonely. Be that baby that know nobody can understand what you're talking about, but everybody's still there. And if you just focus on you and do your thing, you'll be able to develop into whatever you want to develop into.
And people around you will mold to that as well.
It's gonna come. It's your world. You know, that's big. You know, it's your world. I tell my son all the time, you know, what you want to do when you grow up? And he said, I want to go to the NBA. And I say, okay, cool. What do you do in order for yourself to get there? And he said, well, you help me do this. Mom helped me do this. My brother helped me do this. And I said, you see how everybody's helping you do everything that you need to do in order to get to where you're trying to get to? When you get hungry, you get hungry, and we do it. So it's your world. If you if you recognize you, and realizes your world, man.
That's it. Yeah. That's what I tell my kids too. I tell them, my daughter's like, well, I think I want to do this. And I'll be like, okay, yeah, go do it. And then she was like, well, what if I don't like it? I said, the good thing about it is it's your life. You get to do whatever you want to do with it. If you don't like it, you want to switch directions, you can do that. We're going to switch directions with you. Whatever you decide to do, we're coming right with you. So
it's your world, baby.
What's funny about that from a spiritual standpoint, The joke is it's only you anyway, because everything you interact with is your definition of everything. So it's not like I interact with you. I interact with my idea of you. So you're only seeing yourself anyway. So it's not to say that it's a lonely world, but it's to show that you set the stage. Like this is your world, like you said. And I think that's a very empowering thing.
And I'll say this, and we finna get out of here, but if you know yourself, then you will have more people to communicate with. It's just that simple. Like, because the loneliness and being alone, when you know yourself and you're trying to know yourself, it's almost impossible. But I'll say, man, we love y'all. We're grateful for everybody joining us today. Y'all make sure y'all check out Miss Tiff, Conversation Starters. You can catch her on, iTunes, everywhere that they got podcasts. She got that thing. She even got clips on TikTok, is where I found her and didn't realize it was her. But y'all make sure y'all support her. Her podcast goes hard. I'm a avid listener of it. Again, we just grateful for y'all. Without y'all, we wouldn't be here. We definitely be doing something, but we wouldn't be here. And just remember, you know, Jay, you can take us out, man.
Yeah, appreciate y'all again. If you found this helpful, hit the share button, like button, all that. Catch us every Sunday, same time, noon central. And just remember, you're a perfect creation, made by a perfect creator. So you might as well accept your perfection and enter perfect mode.
Yeah.
If I reminded you that you are perfect, would you argue me down or step into your perfection? Welcome to perfect mode, where there are no excuses, no expectations, and we explore the world without limitations. I'm Jay Clay, rapper, the spiritual teacher, with my co-host Troy Washington, your friendly neighborhood realtor. Let's be real. So let's be perfect.
Perfect.
Everything, anything, anything.